Chapter 16. The Long Walk. Vulcan. Sometimes he was alone, and sometimes he had to kill his way through to get where he was going, but he never stopped walking. He was aware of the passing of time, and he grew weary, hungry, thirsty, but he didn't feel any of these mortal concerns the same way that he had back in reality. They were curiosities now, not mortal maladies. He didn't know if this was a property of the labyrinthine dimension through which he walked. None of the custodians that had been stationed here, back when there was still hope for the Emperor's dream, have reported such a thing. That made it a mystery, but a distant one, mundane against the wonders he beheld. He'd had to fight when he first came through. That was no surprise, and he had been ready for it. He'd been ready to fight every step of the way if that's what it would take. The surprise had come when he'd smashed into the teeming phalanx of claws and jaws and thrashing blades and broken through to the other side, finding this strange serenity waiting for him. He knew the sisters and the custodians in the throne room had done their duty. They hadn't fallen. The war still raged, the Emperor still lived. Vulcan mourned those that had died, and promised himself that upon his return, assuming he did return, he would learn the names of the guardians that had given their lives for him to make this journey. There were rules to this place, rules Malkador had tried to impress upon him, but they'd been obtuse things, metaphysical and theoretical. It wasn't that Vulcan had struggled to understand them. Their precepts were nebulous but uncomplicated. No, he understood enough to know comprehension wasn't the same as context. There were things he would have to experience firsthand for them to mean anything. The abrupt transition from being knee-deep in dead demons to wandering alone. That was only the first of them. It had been jarring, though.
"Your intent will matter," Malkador had said. "In that place, your intent will matter more than anything else. The path is woven from your soul's desire."
That answered one question, but begged another. His path was leading him away from the greatest demonic hosts. But how was Magnus faring along his own path? Was the Crimson King already in the webway? Was Magnus tearing his way to the portal far faster than Vulcan was trudging alone away from it? The walls of the Imperial Webway, where he'd emerged after running through the portal in the throne room, were rigid frames on circuit-threaded Martian metal, fused to various alien trans-osseous materials and cultured psychoplastics. He recognized his father's vision in this blend of human and alien technology. The distant past bolted and fused to the present, for the sake of an imperfectly understood future. It grieved him to know it had all failed so utterly. Horus had much to answer for, as did Magnus. Vulcan was a smith, a shaper, a maker. He knew the craft of creation, how to bring artistry to bear along seams of inspiration, working with the materials, not against them, creating through a process, a weave of exploration and imagination. Yet the amalgamation around him rang wrong to his senses. This was something jury-rigged, erected against the grain, woven outside the seams, using half-wrong approximations of the right materials. It worked, but it worked poorly. There had been an end goal in mind, but only the most ragged ability to reach it. Vulcan didn't doubt his father's ambition or the worthiness of the Emperor's ultimate goal, but the craftsman in him felt ill at ease with the improvised genius of the Webway's imperial portions. Human ingenuity was stark and flawed, almost tumorous in this dimension. It made for an ugly union. Without the Emperor's endless maintenance, without the constant flow of the Emperor's psychic will, the Mechanicus's sections were already crumbling, rotting, falling away into the abyss where metaphysics went to die.
"Even without the damage from Magnus's treachery, It is all so forced, so rushed.
It hurt him to admit, but that was the impression it imprinted upon his artisan's heart. Necessity had surely played its part, but the result was undeniable. Vulcan ran his hand along the walls of Martian iron and inlaid suppressive circuitry. It penetrated his gauntlets, sending a weak tingle through his fingertips.
I do not know if this would ever have worked. Not for long. Perhaps not even for long enough.
Imperfect. That was the word. Imperfect, when nothing less than perfection would suffice. And what if his father had come to him? Would he have been able to turn his mastery to this realm behind reality? Would his brother Ferris have been able to help him? Would Magnus have joined them, forming a triumvirate of visionaries devoted to constructing the bridge to mankind's destiny? No. There was nothing he could have done here. Of that he was certain. It wasn't long before Vulcan left the Imperial portions behind. He felt no sorrow at seeing the back of them. There was more to his journey than placing one foot in front of the other. Malkador had said this. But it was another aspect he could only appreciate through experience. You could get lost in the webway, because the dimension responded to the turbulence of a traveller's soul. A firm purpose, a resolute heart, these were more vital than physical endurance. You would reach your destination by wanting to reach it. You would lose your way if your heart was in conflict or your purpose was weak. But they were the rules for a realm in working order. When the Old Ones had shaped this place from materials that now possessed no name and no physical counterpart, how prosaic this labyrinth of unreal wonder must have been to them. In their era, it functioned as they designed it to function, its operation a trivial consideration, aligning with the ways their minds worked. The human brain operated on other layers, with other senses, rendering everything inexpert. And so much of the webway was damaged now. The rules that governed it were no longer ironclad. The beings that built it were an eternity dead.
Your intent will matter.
So Vulcan walked, trusting that his will would carry him where he needed to go. He trusted that he would reach Magnus before Magnus reached the wounded doorway into the throne room. It was a gamble, but the gamble was all they had left. None of them wished to know what ruination Magnus could bring were he able to reach the portal. In truth, he feared he was lost, and if he were, would there be any way to know for sure? The architecture around him was never constant, and the webway's polymorphism fascinated Vulcan, despite the gravity of his purpose. He walked through tunnels that resembled Eldari Wraithbone, and others of unknowable psycho-resinous material that emitted a barely audible chiming hum. He ascended through tunnels that rose and descended through those that plunged. More than once he had turned to see the path he'd come along was gone, melted away into the mist. The walls around him, when they were there at all, were just as unreliable. Sometimes he could reach out and touch curved surfaces that were there to his fingers and not to his eyes. Sometimes he could see a wall of overlapping contours that resembled the segmented insides of some great worm. Vulcan felt outside reality one moment, and inside the body of a vast beast the next. It was disorientating, but not insurmountable. On he walked. The inhumanity of the realm was evident in the little things, too. The golden mist that fogged the tunnels had no scent, not because it truly smelled of nothing, but because Vulcan was from a species that had evolved along biological threads without the capacity to process elements as the Old Ones had. His olfactory sense had no experience with these smells, these particles, no way of processing them distinctly. What kind of creatures had the Old Ones been? What ingredients crucial to their genesis had been scattered from the guts of bursting stars? Were they warm-blooded or cold? Were the helixes of their genetic arcanistry born of hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon, as the human strain was? Or did arsenic hold prime place in their cosmological mix? Maybe ammonia, not carbon, was the key ingredient in their biochemical ascension. Or perhaps silicon. Or elements unknown, as yet undiscovered by humanity, or long ago sacrificed to time. These questions stayed with him for some time. He turned them over in his mind as he walked his long walk, at once enjoying and haunted by the impossibility of the answers. Sometimes, though, he had to fight. There were demons here, alone or in droves, infesting the tunnels and the chambers and the expanses of shifting void. They shrieked their names at him in the languages of cultures lost to history, those syllables laden with the tale of each creature's origin and purpose. Most died beneath Erdrakul. The more cowardly and cunning among them fled. He knew these were stragglers and parasites, and so took no confidence from destroying them. The rents they left on his flesh and armour he ignored, reserving his resentment for the way they slowed him down. Sometimes he believed he was being followed. Never aided, never attacked, only watched. He would turn to see the shadows playing games, shapes too spindly to be human flickering in and out of existence. Once he saw a mask on the ground, a thing of dirty white that looked like blood-stained porcelain. The mask's visage was both manic and leering. The face of a laughing murderer. Vulcan left it where it lay, untroubled by its meaning, if it even had one. When he reached the dead city, he knew he was on the right path.